Hey, and welcome to the Mickey and Minutes Podcast, the short Disney show.
Quick conversations, information, and inspiration.
I'm your host, Nick Lazaga.
And I'm Andy Goots.
Let's go!
Hey, what's going on, Andrew?
Nicholas, we are back.
We are back, dude. This is going to be episode 7.
And we are talking about
Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, man. One of my favorite parks.
Dude, growing up, I always called Hollywood Studios my second favorite park.
I would say that, I guess, Hollywood Studios for me, even more so than Magic Kingdom, I have more nostalgia with Hollywood Studios.
My love for Hollywood Studios will never, ever die. And it's turning 35 this year, which is the reason that we're doing this. We have so much to talk about that this is actually going to be another two-part episode. So look out for the second half of this conversation really soon. But before we get to that, I want to talk about something else special that we're doing. About a week ago, we reached 1,000 followers on Instagram.
Super cool. Thank you so much to everyone who's been listening and supporting us. It's been really appreciated.
It has. And to celebrate, we were doing like a fan appreciation celebration kind of thing where we're doing a giveaway. We're giving away, what is it, Andrew?
$50 gift card, Disney gift card.
$50 Disney gift card. When we started this, we were at 1,000 followers. It's been about a week. We're already over 2,000 followers on Instagram.
That's bonkers, man. I can't believe that.
Dude, I could not be more stoked. This is so cool.
It feels pretty cool.
Yeah, man. And so, well, to enter to win this $50 Disney gift card that we're giving away, all you have to do is really simple. You got to listen to an episode of this podcast, subscribe to it wherever you listen to podcasts. That could be Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and leave a rating. Just, you know,
easy.
A 5-star rating would be great, but you can be honest.
Be honest. We appreciate your transparency.
Yeah, absolutely. And then for a bonus entry, drop a review. I know Apple makes it really easy to review the shows, so you can do that. And there's other ways to get bonus entries. Like, we're going to leave a question at the end of this episode. You can answer that for a bonus. Go ahead and enter that giveaway.
Yes, please.
And that'd be awesome. You could win a $50 gift card just for supporting the show. And thank you so much for listening. All right. So today we are talking about Disney's Hollywood Studios, because on May 1st, this park turns 35 years old.
35. Happy birthday, Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, man. So it's a really cool celebration. And so to celebrate, we decided to do something kind of like something I did way back on an old episode, where we're going to do 35 things that we love about Hollywood Studios. And I got this idea because back on Episode 8, Andrew, episode 8 of Mickey and Minutes, back in 2017, I did 35 things I love about Epcot. And that was my Epcot 35 celebration episode. So I figured, let's bring this back. So today we're doing 35 things we love about Disney's Hollywood Studios. Now, we did not share these lists ahead of time, Andrew.
Yeah, no requirements, no sharing. I have no idea what Nick is going to say. So yeah, this will be fun. So yeah, kick us off, man. What do you got for number one?
All right. So for this first one, I want to start off with something that really kind of sets the feel for this episode talking about Hollywood Studios. And that is the dedication that Michael Eisner did back on May 1st, 1989. This dedication is now on a plaque in the park. And it says, "The world you have entered was created by the Walt Disney Company and is dedicated to Hollywood, not a place on a map, but a state of mind that exists wherever people dream and wonder and imagine. A place where illusion and reality are fused by technological magic. We welcome you to a Hollywood that never was and always will be."
Ooh, chills.
Oh, yeah. That gives me chills. Such a good dedication. The Hollywood that never was, but always will be. I love that.
So well phrased. So well phrased. So many good one-liners in that.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
All right. My number two, I got to go with, just in general, not as classy, or I guess reverent, but Legacy lightsabers. Legacy lightsabers are only available in Hollywood Studios, and I buy one every single time that we go. I love them. I love how realistic they are, how heavy they are. They're made of real metal and great materials. I display them professionally in my office proudly because they're great. They're so cool. And what's great is that they're awesome, like, collector's items. They look great on your desk. you can actually put in one of the blades to make them light up and fight with them. Yeah, legacy lightsabers, they're awesome. You can find them at Doc Ondar's Den of Antiquities in Galaxy's Edge, and they're amazing.
That's awesome. Being able to customize your own lightsaber, that's so cool. So that's the other thing. You said legacy, but the customized ones, incredible.
Is that your number three?
No, my okay. number three, my number three, dude, is Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Now, not just Indiana. Oh, all right, the feeling of Indiana Jones. Growing up, Indiana Jones was my favorite thing on the planet. But more specifically, dude, did you know that they have a screen used tank in the queue for Indiana Jones?
That I did know. Yeah.
That tank was screen used in Raiders of the Lost Ark, I believe. And it used to be back in the Boneyard of Hollywood Studios when they used to have the tram tour. Mm-hmm. Now it's been refurbished, and now it's for everyone to see right there on Echo Lake in front of Indiana Jones' epic stunt spectacular.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so a question for you. Have you ever been chosen to be one of the extras in the epic stunt spectacular?
I have not, Andrew. I've always let my shyness get the best of me there. And since COVID, they don't do that anymore. So I think I've missed my shot.
I'm so happy to say. Yeah, man, I'm so happy to say. I have been chosen once when my wife and I did our first trip to Disney World together. And they were asking people for volunteers. I did jazz hands because that's just who I am. And the lady in the microphone said, "You and the jazz hands in the front, get on up here."
I can see that. All right. What's your next one, Andrew?
All right. Next one coming up, just the Muppets. I think Hollywood Studios features the Muppets more than any other park at Disney World. And the Muppets are timeless. I think the Muppets are the most nostalgic for me just in general, even amongst a lot of other Disney characters, because I grew up with the Muppets. You know, I was an avid Muppet Show watcher. And the Muppets are something that aren't as appreciated as much anymore as they were back then, particularly Muppets 3D. People can say that it's dated, and it might be just a little bit.
No, it's amazing.
But it, you know, for our generation, man, Muppets 3D is still hilarious. The last time that we were there, we of course did it, and they updated it a little bit, but still not too much. But it's an always a classic, and it's timeless.
Oh yeah, they redid the seats in the theater. They have some new projectors in there. It's still getting some love. I love the pre-show area. They have all those little puns. Like a net full of Jello. Like
yes.
A net from the Jello. Oh, that's so genius. I love that so much. Muppets. Oh, yeah.
Muppets.
So my next one, I am a huge, huge fan of The Rocketeer. That was another one of my favorite movies growing up. Mm-hmm. And Hollywood Studios is the only park that really has any representation to this movie.
That's true.
So right now, there is a little kiosk, a little stand where you can get some like beverages and popcorn and stuff. And it's called Peavy's Polar Pipeline.
Okay.
Of course, Peavy is the name of one of the characters in The Rocketeer. And off to the left, behind the counter, they actually have the rocket pack and the helmet.
That's cool. I didn't know props. That.
Oh, yeah, man. Two iconic things from that movie. It's so cool. Actually, back in the day, during one of the fireworks shows at studios, they used to have the Rocketeer fly in front of the Chinese theater.
That's cool. They don't do enough of that. Actually, that's not true. I've been seeing on social media that in Disneyland now they're having like Buzz fly across the
He's
castle.
Using the Tinkerbell
yep,
wire.
Yep. And then they even did that with the Up House. They have like house flying across.
But if
now
you
too.
If you Google, if you or go on YouTube and look for the Rocketeer fly, it's like a rocket pack. Like it's a working rocket pack.
Oh, that's way cooler.
Yeah, it's legit. So yeah, the Rocketeer. Rocket and helmet at PV's Pipeline.
Love it, man. Keeping this train rolling. Gotta say, next one for me, Sci-Fi Dine-In Restaurant.
That was on my list too.
Oh man, dude. Sci-Fi Dine-In Restaurant. I think next to Ohana is my favorite restaurant in all of Disney World. It's so much fun. So for those of y'all who don't know, Sci-Fi Dine-In Restaurant is basically like they recreate a drive-in movie theater where you eat inside of these old
and watch B-movies.
And watch these B-sci-fi cartoons and movies on like a big screen. It's
Attack
really,
of the
really
70-foot
cool.
Woman.
Yeah, but like I said, man, I don't think the reel that they show while you eat has changed ever.
Now they don't need to change that.
They do not need to change.
It's perfect.
Perfect.
They even have a clip with Walt in it.
Yes.
It's amazing. It's perfect. Yes. That was on my list, but more as just themed dining in general. So to piggyback off what you're saying, man, like just that park has some amazing themed dining. Also like 50s primetime where it's
eating
in like your family's kitchen in the 1950s, and they have TVs that play these old TV shows and movies. They actually play like the dedication to Disneyland since that was 1955.
Oh, that's sweet. We've never eaten there.
Oh, dude. Next trip, Hit that up. I know you got to sacrifice a sci-fi visit, but check out 50s Primetime, just as like heavily themed as sci-fi.
Okay.
All right. So, so my next one, man, is Dinosaur Gertie's Ice Cream of Extinction.
I have no idea what that is.
Yes, you do. It is the giant dinosaur in front of Echo Lake, the big greenish blue dinosaur.
That's what it's called? Say that one more time.
Dinosaur Gertie's Ice Cream of Extinction. Do you know what this is a callback to?
Oh, that's right. There's an ice cream stand in it.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah. So, I just never really like actually paid attention to what it's called.
Oh, yeah. But Dinosaur Gertie is actually pretty important when it comes to the theme of Hollywood Studios. So Dinosaur Gertie has been there ever since the park opened, but it actually is a reference to Gertie the Dinosaur, which was one of the first well-known animated cartoons. It came out in 1913. It was 12 minutes long. It was hand-drawn. It's just such a big part of animation history. And I love that there's a nod to this in Disney's Hollywood Studios. It's so perfect. And it's also a nod to like back in the day, there was this whole architecture type back then that were like buildings that looked like things, like the Hollywood Brown Derby that looked like a derby hat. Yeah.
So corny.
And in The Rocketeer, there was that restaurant that looked like a pug, like a dog. Mm. So like that was a thing back then. I love that Hollywood Studios has the dinosaur, first of all, and second of all, that it's a callback to animation history. That's so cool.
Love it, man. All right. Keeping this train going. My next one, I think I've said it in like three different podcasts that we've done already, but Pog Gelato. You can't go wrong with Pog Gelato. It's so good. And then once again, I just have to reiterate that you cannot find just Pog in the mainland US. Very, very limited to Hawaii. It's so delicious. We don't have to spend too much time on this one because it's already so good, but get Pog Gelato.
I think you've officially talked about this on all but one episode of this podcast.
Was it the last one? Last one we did?
The only one you didn't... Okay, yeah, you didn't talk about it on the other one. The Frontierland one. But... You didn't talk about it in the music one either.
We don't have to.
I think it has to be a thing, Andrew. I think you have to mention Pog Gelato on every episode. I did not put this on my list because it's yours, man. It's yours.
Thank you. Please, if you've had Pog Gelato, DM us and tell us about your experience. We'd love to hear it.
Yes, please do that. All right, so I have no idea what number we're on. We're just gonna keep going down. So my next one is Roger Rabbit. Are you a fan of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Andrew? Oh,
yeah.
Love Roger Rabbit. I love that movie. And I love that this has so much history in Hollywood Studios. So there's some Easter eggs left over. Now, there was a much bigger Roger Rabbit presence back in the day. Like, Eisner wanted Roger Rabbit to be the Mickey Mouse of this park. He was so into that, but with licensing agreements with Steven Spielberg and stuff, that didn't play out the way he wanted to. But there are still some Easter eggs to Roger Rabbit in the park.
In Hollywood Studios? Really?
In Hollywood Studios, yeah. So
like,
there's a big billboard that says Maroon Studios, and it has Baby Herman, Roger Rabbit, and Jessica Rabbit. This is standing above a gift shop at the end of Hollywood Boulevard, Andrew. Big billboard. Can't miss
Googling it. There it is. That's right. There it is. Yeah.
But there's more.
I mean, one's pretty blatant. That one's pretty in your face.
Over by Hollywood and Vine Restaurant, there are two more Roger Rabbit references. So there is a sign on a window that says Eddie Valiant Private Investigations, all crimes, surveillance, missing persons.
Yes. Yep.
That's a nod to Eddie Valiant from Roger Rabbit. And of course, there's another reference next to that in the window, where you see the silhouette of Roger Rabbit in the blinds, where it looks jumped out of the window.
Okay, and where's that?
That's right next to the Eddie Valiant sign.
Okay.
So it looks like he jumped out the window, and it's amazing. There's been so much more over in Backlot Express, the restaurant. There either was or still is. I'm not sure if it's still there. It's the car used.
Benny, I think. Yeah,
Benny the Cab, but it's only the skeleton of Benny the Cab. Because, you know, Benny was animated over this shell of a car. And that's still, I believe that's still in the restaurant. And there's a picture above it of like what it looked like with the animation over it. So lots of Roger Rabbit love in this park. And
Roger my favorite Roger Rabbit fun fact, I guess, is just that it's the only movie where Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny and Donald Duck and Daffy Duck are seen filmed together at once.
It is. And the contract stated that they had to have the exact same amount of screen time.
I can see that. Everything's got to be fair. Even Steven.
Yep. So unfortunately, there's not a lot of Roger Rabbit stuff left, but there are still some Easter eggs in the park. Go look for those.
All right, man. So my next one is going to be, actually, this is a good segue because we were talking about the Brown Derby. The Cobb salad at the Brown Derby.
Oh, yeah.
I had the Cobb salad at the Brown Derby 2 Disney trips ago. And I thought about the Cobb salad every single day until I went back to Disney and had it again. It was so good. And I think it's the best. It's one of the best salads I've ever had. It's so good.
So I'm pretty sure that the Cobb salad was invented in the real Brown Derby restaurant.
Oh, was it? So that is a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good. I'm not a big blue cheese guy. But for whatever reason, just in this salad, the blue cheese just works with everything.
So my next one is the Great Movie Ride / Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. Andrew, right before we got on this call to pump myself up for recording this episode, I was literally watching a ride through of the Great Movie Ride.
R.I.P.
It is. Oh, gosh. It's one of my favorite.
Have we also said R.I.P. Great Movie Ride in every single pod? Or at least
I'm pretty sure. And I think we need to. But what I love is... the Great Movie Ride was this classic ride. It was, the journey through the history of movies and cinema. And it was so amazing. And it got replaced by Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which, makes us sad. But there are still Easter eggs to the Great Movie Ride hidden in Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
That I did not know. Please tell me more.
So I'll only give one away.
Okay.
Maybe two. So in the scene where there's the carnival and, everything's kind of blown away and they're sitting on the hot dog. So there's a poster towards the front, like directly in the front, that says Great Moving Ride. Very nice. Very nice. And then one of the rooms, there's that twister. That's a tornado,
Yeah.
And of course, that's a nod to the fact that, the Great Movie Ride had the Wizard of Oz. And there was actually going to be a more elaborate tornado scene in the Great Movie Ride, but their deal with MGM only let them use so many minutes of Wizard of Oz, so they had to cut it. And that's where they ended up putting the Fantasia sequence of in the Great Movie Ride.
That makes sense. I could see how that could have been there.
Yeah, absolutely. So Great Movie Ride / Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. Again, just like we do in all the other episodes, I'll plug the fact that the first time Andrew and I talked on Mickey and Minnie's was about what we would do to fix and save the Great Movie Ride.
Which still holds up. I went and re-listened to that episode a few days ago, and our recommendations, I think, are still pretty sound.
Oh, I agree. Go back and listen to that, guys.
All right, dude. I'm honestly surprised you haven't said this one yet, but next on my list, Rise of the Resistance, the greatest dark ride you will ever go on. It was a groundbreaking idea for Disney to incorporate just basically like a 30-minute Star Wars experience that makes you feel like you're in the movie more than any ride you will ever go on.
Probably the greatest ride ever created. I'm not just saying that. Like, seriously, the greatest attraction ever created.
Definitely dark.
When it works.
I would say, definitely, there is no existing dark ride like it right now. And I'm sure like when Epic Universe opens, they're going to be taking a lot from Rise of the Resistance and just kind of the concepts that it uses. I don't want to give too much away for those of y'all who haven't actually been on it, but it makes you feel like you're in the movie. It's honestly kind of like a role play or like a LARPing experience for Star Wars for about a half hour. It really is, man.
Yeah. And it literally puts you in the action, right? Like it's that POV, like you said, when they were first making these dark rides for Disneyland, they had it so that it was that POV that you were Snow White or you were Peter Pan.
Yeah.
And so many guests didn't understand that concept that they had to go back and add the characters into the dark rides. And I'm so glad that they revisited that idea for a dark ride, for how a dark ride could be experienced from the guest point of view. They revisited that with this ride. And I'm so happy they did because it's so good. It's so good.
It's from your point of view.
Exactly.
You are the one who's experiencing the ride.
You are the character.
You are the character.
Yep. It's so good, guys. I'm sure like most people by now have ridden this, but if you're a Disney newbie or if you just haven't gotten a chance to ride it, it's incredible. So I'm going to piggyback off of Star Wars, Andrew.
Perfect.
But my next one is Ronto Wraps.
Oh, I had Ronto that one Wraps. Too. I knew you were going to have it. I honestly contemplating on saying that one right before this. But yeah, man, Rontos. Why are they so good, Nick?
Dude, so basically, Rontos are like space hot dogs. They're like Star Wars. They're like Star Wars hot dogs. There's like sausage in this like what's like a pita bread and this like amazing slaw and like pork. And it's the greatest like space food ever. It's my favorite thing to eat at Hollywood Studios besides like, a table service restaurant.
I may have also said this in a previous pod, but Nick and his wife make homemade Ronto Wraps whenever we go over to their house. And
I said, not me and my wife, just my wife.
Just Chelsea. Just Chelsea does. But the key difference being that she uses tortillas rather than like a pita bread, and it makes it a little bit more of a taco. And that just hits home for us a little bit more than the pita.
Yeah, man. Only complaint about the Ronto, dude.
Ooh, well, about the
Ronto. I have two complaints.
You have any negative feedback for the Ronto? Please, what is it?
A lot of times they're kind of dry, so you have to ask for extra peppercorn salts. You have to. That's just my rule now.
I'm not. I don't think we should fault the Ronto. That's not the Ronto.
It's the Ronto maker.
It's the Ronto maker.
So some of them are a little more heavy-handed with the sauce. And if they're not, take a look at it before you walk away and ask for another sauce. They'll give it to you in a cup free of charge. They won't be mad at you.
Again, not the Ronto's fault. But
exactly.
The cast member.
My other complaint, I guess, Andrew, is not a Ronto complaint. But it should come with like space chips or something. Just saying.
Fair. All right, man. I think so. My next one is going to be, I guess, staying on the Star Wars theme, but just the idea of characters just walking around. I know Disneyland has this a ton of just costume characters kind of freelancing about the parks without any sort of escort. But in Galaxy's Edge at Disney World, that's really the only park where you just see Star Wars characters. Every time there's a new Star Wars TV show, they have that character available for pictures like within the next like month or two, which is very impressive.
Let me ask you, Andrew, on that topic, obviously we have Rey and Chewbacca and Kylo Ren, stormtroopers, and those are the main ones.
Of course.
But do you ever get upset that having Din Djarin and Grogu, the Mandalorian walking around, that breaks the continuity of the land, like timeline wise? Does that bother you?
I'll be honest, when that kind of stuff first started happening, I actually first started having kind of beef with that, or I guess thoughts about that, with Avengers Campus in Disneyland when you bring back Tony Stark again, right?
Oh, there's no continuity.
Right, exactly.
At all. They don't care.
And then to that, I was like, okay, but we want all the characters.
Of course
right?
we do.
Like so I'm willing to look past continuity for the sake of we want the characters, right?
The average guest just wants to meet Mando.
The average guest wants to just see Baby Yoda and have that moment.
Yeah, man. I go back and forth about that. In one mindset, I could suspend my disbelief enough to pretend that I'm playing Star Wars. So I could also suspend my disbelief enough to see Din Djarin and not have it bother me that Kylo Ren's also over there,
Or maybe what they could do is at least just have like all the generation of characters out at one time. So like they can have Ahsoka and Din Djarin out together because they're at least a part of the same timeline, and then take them away and then put Rey and Chewbacca out.
Well, in defense of the park, they kind of keep like Mando and these other characters kind of tucked away in their own little corner. But
by the bathrooms at the start
exactly.
of the market. Yeah,
right. With that being said, though, I'm seeing pictures coming back from Disneyland from Star Wars nights. They have Luke and Leia out, man.
What?
That's cool. That's cool.
That's cool. That's
a special celebration, but that's really cool. All right. So one more Star Wars one, Andrew, because
I don't think we could do too many Star Wars.
No. All right. Cool. So this one is just something that really makes me feel nostalgic.
I think I know what you're going to say.
It's something very specific, though.
Okay.
The little chime in Star Tours.
That's so
specific.
Yes, I know exactly what you're saying.
Hold on. It goes, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yep. Now boarding.
I love that. That was my text tone on my phone for the longest time.
Oh, like, that's a great text tone.
Yes, it was incredible.
That's a great text tone.
So that sound, almost more than any other sound at Walt Disney World, period, that sound like sends like these flashes coming back. Like I feel like I'm a little kid again. And when I hear that sound, it just gives me chills and just makes me so happy because it's Star Tours, man. Like, gosh.
That's really
I'm
cool.
Getting sentimental, Andrew.
Nah, dude. That's a... I love how specific that is, but also too, just as soon as you said the chime of Star Tours, any hardcore Disney fan instantly got the feels.
You all know, exactly.
We all know.
That's it. So the chime was kind of like slightly changed when they changed over from the original Star Tours to the Adventure Continues. Like the, you know, the way it sounds and the way it's played was kind of different, but it's the same notes in the same sequence. And it's just as amazing. That's very specific, but Star Tours in general. But that chime, man.
That chime. So one more. We keep saying one more.
One more Star Wars.
Star Wars. One more.
One more time.
No, actually, I may have like three or four more. Who knows?
Oh my.
But I mean, because you Hollywood Studios is a lot of Star Wars.
It's the Star Wars park, man.
Next one, just the Millennium Falcon alone.
Oh my gosh. Talk about feels, dude.
The fact that they just have like an exact 1-to-1 scale Millennium Falcon on display that has steam coming from it and lights up and looks like it literally just landed in that spaceport is so sick. And then also just all the photo ops in front, right? Like there's a lot of really cool photo ops at Galaxy's Edge because of the Falcon.
Oh yeah. I think every Star Wars fan, every Disney fan can remember exactly how they felt the first time they saw the Millennium Falcon at Hollywood Studios or at Disneyland for that matter. But yeah, just the 1-to-1 scale of it, man. Oh, it's incredible.
It's sick.
So good.
And it just like you realize like, oh yeah, that ship would be huge. In the real Star Wars world, that kind of ship would be massive.
Oh yeah. The attraction, you know, it's fine.
It's
you
okay.
Know,
it's fine.
If you have like, you know, a 7-year-old pilot or like, you know, a 90-year-old pilot who don't know what they're doing, it makes the ride a little rough. And my beef is that I wish it was more randomized, like more like Star Tours, like where it's not the
actual
exact
game.
Same. Yeah, like it's not the exact experience. Same gameplay every time. Mm-hmm. That's my beef with that. But I love it. I do love the Falcon and the ride is fun.
One pro tip that you actually told me is if you're riding Smuggler's Run and you really want to be the pilot, just ask. Ask the
just
cast
ask,
member.
Dude,
yeah, and
care.
Then they'll like maybe just say, okay, hey, let this one group go in front of you and then you just hang behind, you'll be pilot next. But they'll accommodate you. And being the pilot is worth it, makes the ride. Like honestly, the ride
really
isn't worth it if you're not the pilot. It's not nearly as good.
We started doing that after one particularly like poor experience where the two pilots are almost exactly the example that I gave. It was a kid, you know, who just didn't really understand, just wanted to play. And then I guess his grandmother, and no offense, I'm not trying to be anything, you know, whatever. But this lady, you know, didn't understand that it was interactive and just kind of sat and watched and took in the experience. So we were just veering and crashing into things the whole time.
And for the people on the ride that actually like want to do a good
everybody
job.
Everybody else was like, we got to move it. You got to control it. And I, you know, I don't know if she didn't speak English or something. Again, it's not anything bad. It's just
you just offended every grandma
that moment,
that's listening.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry, all you grandmothers. But you know, it's a video game.
It is a video game, and they don't really do a good enough job of explaining that before you get on the ride.
They don't at all, man.
No.
So ever since that experience, we always request the pilot, man. So my next one, we're gonna kind of go a little bit away from
Star Wars.
From
that's
Star
good.
Wars for yeah. a minute. So I want to make a reference back to another old episode of Mickey and Minutes. This was back in 2018. You can still find this episode and listen to it. It was an episode called Holly Weird Studios. And on that episode, I talked about all this weird, random stuff that Hollywood Studios did in the park. It seemed like they were going through this like weird, like awkward teenager stage and they were trying to find themselves. So a couple of examples, you can go back and listen to that episode for details about this. But they did an Ace Ventura stage show.
Awesome.
Like the Jim Carrey movie. It was so good. It was so funny.
Disney had the rights to Ace Ventura.
Dude, they had Ace Ventura man. And makes, like we met sense. Him. Like he came up to us and like, yeah, it was great. Other weird things, man. They had a Goosebumps stage show. Do you remember Goosebumps?
Oh, that would have been cool. Goosebumps is sweet.
That was cool. They also had a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles meet and greet, a Power Rangers meet and greet.
That would have been sweet.
And get this. This one's crazy. This was actually not on that episode, but something I kind of learned more recently. Back from 1993 to 1996, they filmed WCW Wrestling at Hollywood Studio at MGM Studios.
Interesting.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
So like even like some of the B-roll in like the opening sequence that was shot like in like the Streets of America area.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. No, that's I would have liked to have seen the Ace Ventura show. That would have been silly.
It was so crazy. Yeah. All right. So we're not exactly halfway done with our list yet, but I'd say this is a pretty good stopping point for part one. What do you think, Andrew?
Yeah.
But like we said, this is going to be another two-part episode.
Nick and I just had so much to say about how much we love Hollywood Studios that we couldn't get enough and we needed to elaborate as much as we could. So stick around when you're done here. We're going to be releasing the second part really soon.
But we want to leave you guys with a question. So we talked about Star Wars a lot on this episode, and we want to know, what's been your favorite Star Wars-related memory at Disney's MGM Studios or Hollywood Studios? Is it Galaxy's Edge-related, or is it something like Star Wars Weekends that we didn't even talk about? Let's keep this conversation going. You can let us know on Instagram in the comments or send us a message or something, and we want to hear from you. All right. Thanks so much for listening, guys.
See you next time.
Thanks again for listening to the Mickey in Minutes podcast. If you liked it, subscribe and leave a review on Apple or Spotify. Follow us on Instagram at Mickey in Minutes and check out mickeyinminutes.weebly.com for show notes and exclusive content.